back to the barbershop, 216-578-0092. And without further ado, we're going to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and talk to my man, John Costco of Pro Football Focus. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, Garrett. How about yourself?
All right, man. Doing phenomenal, man. Doing phenomenal. Haven't talked to you in a while, couple weeks here, but we got some obviously bombshell news getting into, Kareem Hunt situation. The Browns, go take a flyer on Kareem Hunt. Obviously, it sent shockwaves across the NFL. From a standpoint of the PR, we've went into that and we've talked about that ad nauseum, for the last week or so. But I don't think what's covered much often is the impact that it has on, the Cleveland Browns. When you look at Kareem Hunt, this year and what he has done and what he has done over the last couple years, what's been kind of overshadowed is what he has done as far as off the field in the incident. I want to refresh people's minds as what kind of running back that he is. Where do you guys have Kareem Hunt? Where do you have him slightly ranked in the ranking system over his rookie year and this year through those 8 games before he was suspended?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best. On the field, he's just one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's the fifth-graded rusher. Last year before he got suspended, rookie, he was right up there at the same level. He's a guy that he led the NFL in forced missed tackles last year, and he was on pace to do so again this year before getting suspended. He's a guy that, he can do it in the pass game and the run game. He essentially does that. He did everything for the Chiefs and really, obviously a top five back in the NFL, and that you pair that with Nick Chubb, who graded as the number two runner in the NFL last year, you're looking at a really powerful 1-2 punch there in that backfield. And nobody even really talks about Duke Johnson, and he's just one of the best backs in the NFL as well when it comes to a receiving back. So really adding him, and whenever he does come back from the suspension, whether it's 6 games or 12 games or whatever it may be, there it's going to be a really deadly backfield.
And you kind of touched on it and kind of highlighted where the next question I was going to. When you look around the league, you got, the Rams backfield and obviously the Saints backfield with Alvin Kamara and the name escapes myself at this point.
Mark Ingram,
yes. And now you add Duke Johnson, who looks like the best third guy on the depth chart in the league. You have Kareem Hunt and you have Nick Chubb. Where does this backfield stand? I mean, doesn't this have to be one or two as far as in the ranking systems, like one of the best backfields in the league, or not one, if not one or two in the league with Kareem Hunt?
It definitely would be number one, maybe, arguably number two, whatever, but it's definitely, the top two, top three type backfield. I mean, really, you've got Nick Chubb, who graded out, as I said, number two in the NFL last year. He forced a missed tackle on 25% of his, rushes. Kareem Hunt, he was a guy that graded number five last year. He forced a missed tackle on 25% of his attempts. Those are both tops in the NFL, and then he put in Duke Johnson, who didn't, look at the number of rushes he had, shorten up the filter to include him, he actually forced a missed tackle in 28% of his attempts, and so it's just ridiculous the type of elusiveness that this backfield is going to have, and none of them fumbled a single rush last year. Duke Johnson did have a couple fumbles last year in 2017, but Nick Chubb didn't fumble at all in 2017 as a senior year in college. Kareem Hunt is, in his entire college career, fumbled twice, fumbled his first attempt in the NFL, hasn't fumbled it since. So you've got a backfield that secures the ball and makes players miss when they get the ball in their hands, and so it's going to be really, in my opinion, the best backfield in the NFL. Obviously, the Saints can kind of argue for that. And you got the Rams now, the CJ Anderson can kind of a little bit argue with that, too. But really, I think what the Browns bring forward and their youth and that explosiveness is it would be the tops.
Talking to John Costco of Pro Football Focus on the North owns the Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. When you look at this offense, a lot of things that people have been asking on the station and around in Cleveland is, you know, how does this, you know, affect Freddie Kitchens' offense? You know, how does this affect, you know, the offense? How do they spread the ball around? How do you get carries to all these guys and touches to these guys? How do you think this plays in the offense? Do you see this team being a run dominant team? Do you see this team running the ball more to open up the pass or the pass to open up the run? More play action team? How do you think this, given that he does have to serve as suspension, but when they get up and running, where do you see the progression of this offense moving and incorporating all these guys into the system?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to tell. You know, obviously you've got Freddie Kitchens, and we, you know, saw a good 8 sample size of his play calling. But you know, obviously he's bringing in Todd Monken from Tampa Bay, who is heavy pass in his schemes. So it'll be interesting to see how they spread the ball around. But I think essentially what it is you've got weapons in the backfield, and you know, I'm assuming they're going to add probably another wide receiver either through free agency or the draft, and that's just going to have more dynamicism there. I just think it just kind of opens up pretty much anything that you can do. I know towards the end of the season, teams do run the ball more because of cold weather, but really, it just gives you options on how you can attack any type of defense. If they're shutting down, you know, if they're scheming to stop your slot wide receivers, you can dump it to your backs. If they're, you know, trying to stop your backs, it opens up the pass game. So it really just kind of gives you everything that you can throw at a defense. Much like what the Patriots do, they have multiple different backs that they deploy every single week, and they're, you know, multiple in their schemes, and they change it up based on who their opponent is. And I think that's kind of like the approach that they should be taking, and you know, utilizing the play action pass a lot more, and RPOs and stuff like that.
You know, when you look at the offense, and you look at what they're doing, and have this stable of running backs. One of the things that you look at when you add a Kareem Hunt is you look at his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And look at the running game around them. How do you think this helps Baker Mayfield? And do you think this is going to dramatically improve his ability to be a guy who can be a dark horse candidate to put up a lot of big numbers here in the 2019 season and possibly put up MVP type numbers?
Yeah, I definitely think he has, you know, going into his second year, Baker Mayfield should have, take a step forward, you know, especially considering how good he was as a rookie, obviously setting records with the touchdown passes in just 13 games. And he had 41 big time throws in our system, which is the third most in the NFL, which is all very impressive numbers. And so I think he just adds another layer that, you know, Baker can trust as another weapon that he can get the ball to. You look at what Kareem Hunt was able to do as a pass catcher last year. He averaged 14.5 yards per catch as a back, which is, you know, astronomical numbers for really getting it, you know, as a running back. He's a guy that can split out wide. He can take it from the backfield, out in the slot. So he's a guy that you can put anywhere out on a field and utilize him as a weapon. And it's going to just open up everything for Baker. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, I'd like to see him use that slot or that out wide, because that's where he was so dangerous as a pass catcher for the Chiefs the past 2 years.
Talking to John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. This is a question, and I like to kind of give you give our fans a little insight, because one of the things I think is being overshadowed here is when things like this happen, you know, you become known as the person who does the, you know, the act becomes bigger than the talent. And so to kind of put it in perspective, just on strictly talent and just strictly on ability, leaving off-field stuff aside, if the off-the-field stuff never happened, and we assume that it never happens, and you have in a vacuum Kareem Hunt, and he plays the rest of the season, and you have Nick Chubb, if you are a general manager, and from what you've seen in breaking down film and taking a look at this film work, which back would you say you are willing to say that you would give, in your opinion, the lion's share of the carries? Who would be a guy that you would say, hey, if it's between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, which back, based on skill set, based on film work, would you say that would be my number one back, and I would have to mix in the other guy at number two?
You're putting me on the spot there. Yeah. I really like both players coming out of college, and so like, but to me, I really, really liked Kareem Hunt. I thought he was the better back by a very slight margin. I think he's better as a pass catcher. He's better in pass protection than Nick Chubb is, and it's as a runner, I think they're comparable. I think they're pretty much equal. They both, like I was saying earlier, they force missed tackles at the same rate. They're both averaging, you know, really good numbers after contact. The Chiefs had a little bit better of a run blocking line than the Browns did this year in terms of what they were able to do. So I think in terms of, I would put Hunt as 1A and Nick as Chubb as 1B. But I don't think you can go wrong with either one. But mainly, I think his pass catching ability puts him over the top of Nick Chubb.
You know what, and that just goes to show you. And the thing is, I'm along the same lines as you. Like, I love both backs. I love their both. I love their skill set. I love like the way they run, their style of running. What I'm trying to illustrate to people is, you know, Dorsey got this guy for a bag of peanuts and you know, a couple pairs of cleats and some duct tape and $55, and the as high as we are on in Cleveland and around the league, and from guys who break down the tape as much as you do, as high as we are on Nick Chubb, you are looking at it, and I'm looking at it the same way. I actually would have Kareem Hunt a little bit rated a little bit better than Nick Chubb in regards of strictly on the field worth, value, and ability.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you can't, obviously, and reality is you can't ignore what happened off the field or whatever. And,
right.
You know, I'm you know, of the mind of always giving second chances. Was this too quick? I don't know. But, you know, he takes the right necessary steps to get back in the league. I think there should be a path for that. But, yeah, it's strictly on the field. This is a dynamic playmaker that, you know, you need to get the ball in the hands of. And I think he's just going to obviously take away, you know, move forward from this situation. And, you know, in 10 months when he gets back on the field or whatever it is, he's going to make the Cleveland Browns a much better football team just because of that.
And one last question here. I've always said this, and you tell me if I'm off base on this one a little bit. You know, there's positions I've always waffled back and forth about people in this last thing as far as offensive linemen. I always say pass rusher, obviously quarterback, pass rusher. I'd like to say cornerback, to have a cornerback as far as how I evaluate and put a value sign on those. A lot of fans always question and ask me, hey, say, hey, G. Bush, well, you know what you should do every year? Is you should just draft the best lineman every single year. And I always go back and forth with fans all the time that say, I say, well, you know, left tackle used to be one of those premier positions. I don't know if I would take, unless that guy is Orlando Pace, or that guy is going to be the prototypical Hall of Fame guy left tackle. I don't know the way guys can move pass rushers from left end to right end nowadays, and you can bring pressure from anyway. I don't know if I value a left tackle as high as I used to in free agency in the draft, as I used to. What are your numbers to say as far as the value and the ranking system of a left tackle as far as the pecking order of offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track here. We've actually run these numbers, and we've had a couple of articles on this, and left tackle is still the most valuable offensive line position, but I think what is overshadowed is the right tackle position is almost just as important.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're you, like you said, you flip a pass rusher from left to right. You look at a Mitchell Schwartz, who is our number one lineman of the year, mainly because he goes up.
And, that hurts.
I know, right? But he was solid in Cleveland, and he's just gotten better as he and when he's been in Kansas City. And he goes up against Von Miller twice a year and gave up two pressures all season to him. And he's looking at that type of dynamic pass rusher. J.J. Watt comes from the offensive right side. Khalil Mack often comes from the offensive right side. So you have to be able to protect both sides. Both positions are, almost equally as important. And then even the interior offensive line, you still have the need to prevent that interior pressure because you've got a guy like Aaron Donald up the middle. So you've got to be able to have at least average play on the offensive line across the board because they're having the difference between an elite high-level left tackle like a Joe Thomas or an Orlando Pace and a different, to a, like maybe a above average type of left tackle isn't all that great, but the difference between an average and to above average to a guy that just gets, pressure, gives up pressure left and right, like you saw in the Dallas Falcons game last year where Tyrone Smith was injured. You had their pass rusher had six sacks, completely wrecked the game. It was Adrian Claiborne. You see what kind of a issue that causes when you have a bad left tackle. You get him to an average level, he's, giving up maybe one or two sacks as opposed to completely destroying the game in the pass game. So you're right along the line of that thinking. An average is more valuable. The difference between an average and a bad is more valuable than the difference between an average and an elite. Having an elite left tackle is more so of a luxury than rather than a necessity in the NFL these days.
Hey, man, John, thank you as well. Always, I appreciate you. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, Garrett.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it. That's John Costco, Pro Football Focus.